Yesterday I heard for the first time a new song by Chris Tomlin, and it has these words in it. I'm coming back to the start where you found me. I'm coming back to your heart. Now I surrender. Take me. This is all I can bring. And part of the chorus picks up on the song that worship group just sung. I feel alive. I come alive. I feel alive on God's great dance floor. Call to worship links to our reading. Shall we gaze into the sky, waiting for the coming of the Christ who never left us? Do we look to the heavens for the one who lives in our hearts? Has he left the stage of the world's drama in order to return in triumph and save us all just in time? Or will the flash of his appearing strike upon our vision, not from the clouds above, but from the depths of faith and love in those who already see him? We're going to stand and sing our first hymn, The Spirit Came as Promise, and although the words might be new to you, the tune is very familiar.
As we come before God, let us offer him our prayers of adoration for all that's good in our lives and all he's given us. Let us pray. Lord, we want to praise you for the wonder of your creation, for each tiny blossom and small creature. We want to thank you and praise you for the wonder that your creation inspires. Lord, we want to ask you that we always continue to look at all you've given us through the eyes of a child. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that we see in your creation and in your people. We want to praise and adore you for all that we see around us and for your unending patience and love that we can see in our lives. We want to praise you as a community for always being there for us when we seek you and for providing direction for us in our individual lives as our church here in Naphill and as a community. We want to pray that we will never descend into apathy, that we will always remember your greatness and wisdom and look to you, our Father, friend and protector. Amen.
And we continue our prayers with some words of confession. And there are some words to respond to that hopefully will be on the screen. Let us pray. We have ignored the prompting of your Spirit, urging us to act for justice and peace. Forgive us and renew your Spirit within us. We have used words as barriers instead of simply telling the story of your love. Forgive us and renew your Spirit within us. We have scorned those whose religious experience differs from our own. Forgive us and renew your Spirit within us. We have missed opportunities to talk about our faith and proclaim your word. Forgive us and renew your Spirit within us. We have hurt others, neglected our discipleship, and lost our way. Forgive us and renew your Spirit within us. The Spirit of God is present with us now, reminding us of Christ's promise that when we confess our sins to God, we will be forgiven. The Lord says, "I will save them and I will cleanse them. They will be my people and I will be their God." And so we pray, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Know that you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." And we're going to stand and sing two songs that relate to our renewed relationship with God. And these again link into some of the themes in the reading. So we're going to stand and sing, "Abba, Father, Let Me Be," followed by "Father God, I Wonder." So let's stand.
Oh, Thank you, worship group. Good morning, everybody. Those last two songs will tie into a reading from Romans that we'll hear in a few minutes' time. And how good in particular to sing Abba Father, remembering that Dave Bilber, who wrote it, will be back with us in October as part of the anniversary celebrations. And talking of those, thank you to everybody who responded to my request for more hymns for the songs of praise. I'm flooded out now. And we were going to set today as the deadline anyway, so that I could start to put them in some kind of order. So, you certainly responded. Thank you. I'm inviting Mark to come up here. And Mark's been going along on a Monday tea time to Holy Trinity Church to do the Youth Alpha course. And Mark's going to just share a little bit about that, and perhaps something, I don't know, to do with the Holy Spirit, as that's today's theme with the with Pentecost.
Well, on Monday we were doing the Holy Spirit, and basically there were three main things that we talked about. We were saying about examples where people would share the Holy Spirit, because we always have three questions on the video, and one of them was, have you ever had supposedly supernatural or Holy Spirit experience? I said no, because I haven't yet. We were talking about the potential about getting the Holy Spirit if you accept God in your life, follow the Bible, accept God in your life, then you have the potential to get the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about what it is. It's not a human. It's not a ghost following you around. It's almost sent by God to help you.
And do you want to say that thing about switching on the power?
Switching on the power?
Electricity and
switching on. Oh, yeah, that example. Okay, so there's an example I think Ben said. Ben's the person who leads the Alpha course, and he said, you have a lamp in your bedroom, you have the electricity, it's your choice whether you switch it on or not to get the light. Imagining that the electricity is the Holy Spirit, and if you switch it on, then you get God.
Okay, thanks, Mark. I had one idea of how I was going to introduce the theme this morning. And if you saw me going up to Mark in the first hymn, it's because I thought, no, this would be better coming from Mark. So, there you go. Right. We're going to sing one more, and some of you will know this, some of you won't, but sometimes the thing about the power of God and the Holy Spirit is that it's so mysterious and it's difficult to pin down. And the only way you can deal with it sometimes is by using images and dare I say, metaphors. And this song, this hymn, uses a metaphor from the Bible about the Holy Spirit as the river of God and the living water. So we're going to sing the river of God. Yeah, do you want to play it all the way through? Yeah, okay then. Okay, got that? So listen to the first verse and chorus, then we go back to the top.
Thank you.
invite Junior and Youth Church to come to the front. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're going to hear two readings then. We're going to hear the usual account of Pentecost, and we're going to hear from Romans as well, which is where you'll hear the Fatherhood of God language. And Helen and Angela are reading for us. Thank you.
The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thanks be to God.
This reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you to both of you, especially to Helen. that's always a dodgy reading with that list of places. Thank you ever so much. Right, before we think about the Pentecost theme, we're going to sing again. And as we stand and sing this, I hope we are singing this as a prayer, not only for the ministry of the word, but for our whole lives. We sing, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our lives. You are welcome in this church. We welcome you to make sense of the word you inspired. We welcome you to make sense of our lives and to lead us together as your family. In the name of Christ and for the praise of his name. Amen. You might know that I like misprints. And not just these things that you see when people, where the autocorrect on your mobile phone does strange things to your text messages. Debbie gave me a whole book of them, some of which you really can't repeat in church. But I came across another one from a church order of service the other day. There is an Anglican collect prayer for this time, which starts off with the words, Almighty God, whose Spirit hovered over the waters at creation. You can tell that this church administrator was not Yvette, because Yvette would not have typed it like this. Because in the order of service, it appeared as Almighty God, whose Spirit hovered over the waters at creation. Never have the attempt to domesticate the Holy Spirit been more successful than to give the Spirit of God a hoover. But come to our house and it'll be a Dyson. But if Pentecost teaches us one thing, is that the Holy Spirit cannot be domesticated. The Spirit of God is not a heavenly version of an English gentleman. I'm so fed up with when I used to hear sermons, oh, the Spirit of God is a gentleman. He won't do this, he won't do that. I mean, the Spirit in this story is wild. Coming like tongues of fire, enabling the disciples to speak in other languages, the same disciples mistaken for drunkards. Couldn't be Methodists, could they? And yet, for all the way in which Pentecost sermons focus on the wildness, because people get worried about the wildness and want to know, you know, well, what is all this speaking tongue stuff, and what is all this tongues of fire, and what is all the mighty wind? And yeah, that there's a place. Much as I thought I would go in that kind of direction, I found one word from Acts chapter 2 capturing me this week. And it's a short word, and it's a powerful word, and it's a challenging word, and it's a simple word. And the word is all. Look at the word all in Acts chapter 2. And you see some important things about the gift of the Spirit. So, in time-honored fashion, I'm going to share three with you. Firstly, Pentecost is about being all together. All together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And that fact was not a coincidence. 120 disciples of Jesus have been gathered in united prayer since the ascension. It's significant that Jesus had told them to prepare for the coming of the Spirit like that. Wait in the city until you're clothed with power from on high, he had said to them in Luke 24. All together, united in prayer, this was the way to prepare for the coming of the Spirit upon the people of God. And it is still the case that the Holy Spirit delights to come upon those who are united in the name of Jesus and are together seeking him. Does the Spirit of God come in power upon groups of Christians who are disunited or fractious? Hardly. And if the Spirit does come upon them, then it is an act of extreme grace by God. But what kind of all together or unity are we talking about? It's not about the Christian unity as we talk about it when we discuss the similarities and differences between Christian denominations. That wasn't in view at the time. There was just one group of Jesus' followers. 120 of them. You know, a slightly bigger church than us. That's all. We're talking about unity in a local community that seeks to follow Jesus. This is a unity of a congregation, if you like. Do we long to be a congregation that is vibrant with the life of the Spirit? I hope we do. And if we do, then we need to recognize the importance of being all together in unity, and especially, as here, united in prayer. A community of Jesus followers determined to pursue him together is one that is ripe for the power of the Spirit. It's not just about turning up on Sunday and going home. It's not about just some general vague belief in God where we feel we believe enough to be forgiven but not so much that we have to be radically challenged. It's about what one author called the pursuit of God and what another called, described as being God chasers. We are all together in community, in prayer. We are not just an aggregation of individuals who happen to be under the same roof for an hour or so at the same time on Sunday morning. Together, all together, we are loyal to Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. It's that which is more analogous to what the early believers did as the Spirit was to come. Has to be so, doesn't it? Isn't the Spirit central to Christian unity? As Paul puts it in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So, if that's the case, if the Spirit comes upon those who are all together as the followers of Jesus, how do we compare? Where would we need to change? Where would we need to be more intentional in drawing together as disciples of Jesus, seeking him and the outpouring of the Spirit? What would be our answer? I'm not going to answer it for you. I'm going to leave us all to ponder it. All together. Secondly, at Pentecost, all received. All received. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There are no exceptions among the followers of Jesus. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We sometimes delude ourselves that there's a distinction between first-class Christians and second-class. There are the super keen ones who can pursue all sorts of exciting spiritual experience, do daring things for Christ, maybe end up in Christian paperbacks and on conference platforms. And maybe we think that the rest of us are simply those who will jog along with an ordinary, mundane life where little happens. Or we might think that those who are led into so-called full-time Christian service, well, what kind of Christian service are we all in? Are those who will be especially endued with the Spirit in the ways that the rest of us aren't. And if we think this, well, we might regret this notion that some will have better spiritual experiences than us, or we might use it as a safety net so that we too don't have to be too challenged about the tepidness of our own Christian experience at times. Either way, the distinction is wrong. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. There are no distinctions here. Although Peter stood up as a representative of the group, just as perhaps a minister might be a representative of a congregation, he was no closer to God than the others, nor was he more special in the eyes of God. His reception of the Spirit was no different from theirs. All were filled. It was a point Peter was at pains to make when he spoke to the crowd, and he quotes and paraphrases the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Open to both sexes, open to all ages, open to all classes of society, all were filled. Not just prophets, priests, and kings, as in the Old Testament, but sons and daughters, young men and old men, servants, male and female. Everyone, all. Everyone who's committed to Jesus Christ is included in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I talked about a man who wrote a book called The Pursuit of God in the first point. Well, that man was an American pastor called A.W. Tozer. And Tozer also had something to say about this question of all receiving and there being no distinctions. In one of his books, he wrote these two sentences. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. So, let's stop shortchanging ourselves spiritually. Let's stop kidding ourselves that God isn't interested in using us. All receive the Holy Spirit. All are filled. I mean, we can't even be Christians without the Spirit, but let's not just stop at that. All can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray that God will pour out his Spirit liberally upon all of us. All together, all receive. Thirdly and finally, all proclaim. All proclaim. All the disciples are filled with the Spirit. Every time the Spirit comes upon people in the book of Acts, people receive gifts of inspired utterance of one kind or another. Here it seems that in their way with the utterance of tongues, the disciples praise God and the crowd overhears. Astonished, the observation of the crowd is that, in verse 11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And although Peter becomes the spokesperson, the representative for the group, as I said, the proclamation is that of the whole group. Each disciple speaking in a different language, that's how the multinational gathering gets to hear the wonders of God in their own tongues. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon God's people, then God's people declare the wonders of God. And really, the mission that happens in Acts 2 just happens as an overflow. There's no sense that the disciples are speaking in tongues to the crowd. The crowd overhears it. This is an overflow. This is not techniques. This is not programs. They declare the wonders of God, which itself could be a description of worship. But it goes beyond, and the crowd hears those declarations of the wonders of God. So at that point, worship has overflowed into mission. Declaring the wonders of God could describe worship, and it could describe mission. Here we get both, and they're both spontaneous and unplanned. It's true, of course, that not all Christians are evangelists. Not all of us are those who specialize in sharing the gospel. But though we are not all evangelists, we are all witnesses to what Jesus Christ has done in the world and done in our lives. The Holy Spirit makes us into such witnesses. When we are filled with the Spirit, we can no more avoid being witnesses than the overflow of your bath can avoid taking water out if you forget to turn off the taps. Pentecost is when God turns on the taps of the Spirit and deliberately forgets to turn them off. And the water of the Spirit is going to go out through the overflow. Oh, we have an overflow. It's here. You know, this last week there's been quite a reminder of that truth. Have you seen what the Archbishops of Canterbury and York called the Church of England to do this last week? They've had a week-long prayer campaign to lead up to Pentecost. They called it Thy Kingdom Come. And earlier in the week, Archbishop Justin Welby was interviewed on Premier Christian Radio about this. And in the interview, being asked about it, he said that the church which leaves evangelism to the professionals commits missionary suicide. But you see, with the Spirit, God works against missionary suicide. He turns us all into witnesses for Jesus Christ, not by any special training or knowledge, but because if we are filled with the Spirit, then we shall overflow with the love of God in Christ to others. There's a story I've loved telling at this time of year for many years, so please forgive me if I've told this before. I can't remember if I have, and I haven't checked. Clive Calver, who was one of the founders of Spring Harvest and worked in various places, Youth for Christ, the Evangelical Alliance, headed up a relief agency. Now he's the pastor of a church. Calvert told a story of his young days about how he had spoken at a Christian meeting once, and afterwards a young man approached him. The young man was called Charlie, and he worked as a lab technician. Charlie had one question for Clive Calvert, and it was this. He said, I read in the New Testament of people noticing something different about the first disciples and how they put it down to the fact that these people had been with Jesus. Why then does nobody notice anything different about me? And so Calvin prayed with Charlie. He asked God to fill Charlie with the Holy Spirit, and nothing dramatic happened. It was just one of those quiet times of prayer. Sometime later, Calver heard what resulted. The next day, Charlie went into the lab to work in the normal way. And one of his colleagues, an Indian colleague, said to him, Charlie, what happened to you last night? You're a different kind of Charlie. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Which one of us would not want to be a different kind of Charlie? Fill your own name in there. I want to be a different kind of. Why not? What if people in our networks or neighbourhoods said to us, what happened to you yesterday on Sunday? You're a different kind of. What if the Spirit of God fell in power on each of us, making us each different kinds of people? So much so that the world stood up, took notice of us, and then asked questions, creating the opportunity, just as Charlie had, to proclaim the good news. Amen. As we begin to respond to that, we're going to sing a hymn written by a lady who worked for Scripture Union for many years, Margaret Auld. And we sing this to the tune of the Sky Boat Song. And the hymn is Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon us as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Fill us all. Leave none of us out. Empower us to overflow with the love of Christ as your witnesses. We pray this in a simple, representative way now, but we make it our prayer as we go from this place and as we continue our lives day by day. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. Come, Holy Spirit, as the world practices injustice. as we read in the last day or two, of an Iranian pastor previously arrested and released, rearrested with his wife and a fellow church member. And so we pray for Pastor Youssef Nadakani, for his wife Tina Pasandide Nadakani, and their church member Yasser Masayeb Zadeh. Be at work in the world to bring justice, not only for our Christian brothers and sister there in Iran, but throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, upon those who are in particular need of a touch from God. Come upon those we know who are in need because of their health, because of the worries of life, because of major decisions to be made, because of great disappointments that have struck them. And come not only upon those who face trouble, but upon those in particular need, as we remember those facing exams, those going into new phases of their lives. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower and equip them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit, knowing that you have answered that prayer so many times in the past. We remember with gratitude, Holy Spirit, that you have come. As we recall again this Sunday, those who have died as followers of Christ, who have reflected his light by your power, who await your energizing to receive their resurrection bodies. And in our gratitude for those you have empowered in the past, so we turn full circle and pray for ourselves again. Come, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. And let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before our final hymn, we'll take up our offering. As we offer these gifts, we do so, O Lord, because you have already given to us in the gift of your Son and the gift of your Spirit. And so pour out your Spirit upon every part of our lives, that we may offer ourselves as an offering of praise to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so our final hymn becomes a prayer, and a prayer of faith for the coming of the Spirit upon us all. We sing, "Come down, O love divine." Spirit of God, lead you into all truth and give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.